77, the powerful reminder that we need to stay true to ourselves, use our creativity, and trust our intuition episode.
Pay attention, who can know why?
Use your creativity, who can know why?
You know why, hey, nay, no one. Hey, nay, hey, nay, nay.
Hey, Shanae. Haynes died with the big old hose. Hey, yo, what name?
With the hose.
Haynes, you know, they got that with the hose in the back. Hey, yo, what name? Hey, yo, what name?
Hey, no, hey, name, no, why? Hey, how are you? Hey, how are you?
I think if you can make it through that, you're doing pretty good.
All right. See you guys next week. Hey, all right, this is Unspoken Words, episode 177, and the triad is back in the he's there once again, 2 weeks in a row. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Can it snow?
It better not. It just did. Didn't it? It
rained.
Oh, yeah.
When was that? Yeah, it rained the other night.
Yeah.
Oh, it rained like, or snowed like 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Ain't getting like 2 feet in Denver area.
It's going to be 70 next week, bro.
Yeah.
I know, people heading to Denver March. Y'all watch out. Be watch out on them roads.
Tonight's the snow night there, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think 2 feet in Colorado Springs this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw that picture. And it said a picture of Colorado, and it was just looked like a white, just white.
Dang.
Damn, it's weird. Like, just that area?
Yeah, it's weird, huh? I mean, they're a mile high. They're a lot higher.
Yeah, but.
They high.
Higher.
What is high?
Just ask John Denver. He knows.
That guy's full of S, man.
That John Denver's full of shit.
I thought the Rocky Mountains would be a little bit more rockier than this. Ah, baloney. All right, over here to my right, all the way from Bobwood. I know. He is your ace, your hole-in-one. Your favorite Indian, JCB, say Shodale Vato,
I'm the one.
Orale, he's the one pendejo. Hey, and over here to my left, all the way, Ramel, Jesus, number 83 in a place to be, and he ain't even trying to preach, it's the pod Gotti, Randy B, say showed up.
Shoda, mahalo.
Oh, mahalo.
Mahalos. Ah, relatives.
It's ah, the pendejo mahalo. Hey, and you know me, Mohugs Not Drugs, all the way from up the road in Arrow Creek. Hey, the number one pendejo.
The pendejo wonder.
Pendejo uno.
Shit.
Oh, yeah, I seen this thing. It's real. It's really crazy. It said if you spell socks, S-O-C-K-S, like fast, it sounds like you're speaking Spanish. Try it once.
S-O-C-K-S.
So sí que es.
You gotta use that accent.
Yeah. Throw that accent, try it, JC.
So sí que es.
So sí que es, pendejo.
Número uno.
Los Estados Unidos.
Dumb, man.
So sí que es.
Somebody starts speaking Spanish to you, say that, or what?
You stand there and look at him, be like, eso sí que es, Simón. Simón ese.
Eso sí que es, Simón ese.
Eso sí que es.
That's stupid.
S-O-C-K-S.
Aha. Our southern relatives.
Our relatives from south of the border. Man, Taco Bell slogan used to be crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Remember make a run for the border? That was Taco Bell's?
Oh, yeah. What's crazy about that?
It's like, great. I mean, that's pretty racist, don't you think?
Especially with, like, the work that you do now. Is that pretty considered pretty?
Yeah.
That's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
A lot of things that were acceptable back then.
How is it racist?
I don't know, but okay. I guess not inappropriate, but I mean, like, inappropriate.
The implication.
Yeah, the implication, because they're, like, I guess right now, because, like, there's such a push for, like, to build the wall and keep them on their side and all this.
But I think that the implication is that you're running for their border.
Yeah.
Right, like, okay, so make a run for the border, like, if you're trying to get away with from punishment for a crime, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Remember, like, did you ever watch Born in East L.A.?
Yeah.
When he was talking.
Well, even, yeah, yeah.
He met that dude. What's happening?
What's happening? Remember, he's going, psst, and then he looks and his eyes are across the eye.
But he was talking about why he was in Mexico. And he goes, you know, if we make a run for the border, we can make it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of, I guess it's like degrading, or maybe not racist, but like just degrading. Okay. I think so.
Okay.
It's just distasteful, especially like today's day and age, because like Taco Bell is an American restaurant, right?
Yeah.
But implying that you have to go south of the border, like to the border, like I don't know.
Yeah. And then like, I don't think like true Hispanics, Latinos, Chicanos, like, I don't think they consider Taco Bell like authentic food
at all. It's not. Yeah, it's not. It's like Americanized version of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel you.
Like ground beef. I seen somebody. What does she call them? She calls them. So like when you make ground beef or whatever, like basic bee tacos, you know?
Oh, bro?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're good, though. They're good. I eat them. No, I'm just kidding.
Get down. They're
good.
They're kind of
good.
They're kind of good. Need a little bit of hot sauce, but they're kind of good, though. No, but I think that's like a staple. Like, I know it was in our, like, making just ground beef and then cheese.
Yeah. Lettuce.
Yeah.
Tomatoes. S-O-C-K-S.
my mom and them, when, like, my sister, man, they would make, like, a big old, like a bunch of it, and then just freeze it. And then every time they want a taco, they'll just go break a chunk of that thing off and heat it up.
Oh.
They're like taco. Taco junkies, those guys.
Yeah, no, I just saw my mom do that. Well, not freeze, but like to reheat. Like, you know how like when you reheat hamburger and you use the microwave, it kind of tastes funky?
Yeah.
Sure.
Does it? You guys do that? You guys ever reheated hamburger in the
microwave? Yeah. I mean, I don't notice a different. I know it's like a different taste because it's like a day old. I guess that's my thought process. I never thought it was because of the microwave.
I know turkey does that. When you reheat turkey in the microwave, it has like a weird smell.
Thanksgiving turkey, is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Not like chopped turkey, like no. Cold cuts?
No, not like cold cuts. Yeah, like the when you would make it
turkey chunks,
yeah, a big chunk of turkey.
But yeah, I don't know. Ground beef kind of tastes weird. I don't eat microwave like day old ground beef. But what? Back to the original story. Like I saw my mom.
Wait,
like,
let's talk about this day old ground beef.
I was at my mom's house and I saw her like take some ground beef out of the fridge that they cooked the day before and she threw it back in the fryer. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
she used
a
frying pan.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, why do you do that? And she was talking about the taste.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember my folks used to do that, like, with whatever meat it was. They took it out, like, if it was, like, from leftovers or whatever.
Yeah.
And they just throw it in the pan and put some water in there and, like, heat it back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it must be, like, pre-microwave days.
Yeah.
Move.
Mm. But did you ever, like, try to reheat, like, roast beef or something? Like that you cook from your like yourself, right? Like a big chunk of meat, and they pop in the microwave.
Yeah,
yeah,
they like explode.
Why is that? The neurons and the...
the neurons.
No, I think it's like the fat.
Okay.
The fat, like, explodes.
Yeah, that's how, like, your freaking microwave gets all ugly inside.
Yeah, there's little chunks of meat in there.
Yeah. Yuck.
It's so sick, yes.
Pendejo!
Pendejo! S-O-C-K-S! Right on. You guys are feeling good? Sunny, man? You guys get some sun today?
Mm-hmm. Damn, bro. I've been pulling like 10-hour days all week.
Dang.
Because everything keeps breaking down, but those people still need their stuff.
Yeah. So you guys wash it by hand?
Basically, might as well be.
Hmm.
And that... At that, and I think you don't listen to this show anyway. General manager's a slave driver.
Dang. You're just cracking the whip,
JC, come into the office.
we're machines.
Yeah. That's how a lot of those labor jobs are.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I ain't going to lie. They kind of give me a little bit of money for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, well, next week when I get that check, it should be pretty fat. I really said, I was talking to some of my coworkers and I said, I don't know, man, but next week we better get a fat check. And she goes, what did you say? You want a fat chick? No, you get the check. Then the chick comes.
That
the
too.
Both better be fat.
I can't take these long, cold winter nights. Jesus said, it's all you aunties. You better hit us up.
Technically, it's still winter.
Yeah.
It's always winter in my heart until you show up. Oh. You like that one?
Putting the call out there.
Yeah.
Might as well just cast that line. Fuck it.
He's catching that act up season.
Leading the charge.
Leading the charge out here.
Front lines.
It's all your aunties. Let them know.
Let me know.
JCB is the place to be.
Most eligible bachelor. on IndianCountry.com.
What's that?
He likes long walks by the river.
Long walks to the corner store.
S-O-C-K-S. All right, man, let's go with your is it weird facts or WTF facts?
It's a little bit of both.
All right,
I was read a couple of them earlier, but
all right, take it away.
Hey, what the hell am I doing? Okay, so it says what the fuck, what I mean, what, yeah, WTF, what the phrase, so freaky you wish you hadn't seen them. Okay, butterflies will drink your blood, sweat, and tears. If given the chance, even the loveliest butterfly would drink your bodily fluids. Butterflies do something called mud puddling, wherein they hover over pools of liquid, in many cases mud, blood, feces, and other fun stuff, to determine if it has nutrients they want.
What? That's kind of crazy, by their smell or something?
I mean, you imagine the way I imagined it when I first read it is like this butterfly just flies up to like a whatever pile or liquid or whatever.
Yeah.
And just kind of, nah, that's not good.
Just like tastes
it? Yeah,
it
tastes it real quick and then, no, that's not good. That's feces.
Do they pop?
I don't, it doesn't say anything about, what do you mean, do they pop?
You were talking about like they drink everything, right?
Well, yeah, they said it's called mud puddling.
Oh.
They hover over pools of liquid to determine if it has... Well, now that I read it again, it
oh, that's not like my taste. Smell it. Some of them are probably bougie.
Probably bougie, oh, yeah.
Oh, yuck.
Yuck, that's day-old burger.
That's day-old.
No, but I was talking to... Beef. All puddle. I heard was like the... You know how they drink till they're dry or whatever, but... I was thinking of like a wood tick. Drink, you know, like how, you know, like the wood ticks
like
will.
Engorge?
Yeah, like, you know, the wood tick will stay on a dog or something until they get like real purple.
Yeah. Like gray.
Yeah. Yuck.
Man, you know what we used to do? We used to like pick those wood ticks off our dogs when they're little and then spray them with spray paint and light them on fire.
Ooh.
And they pop.
Ooh.
I used to just step on them.
Really?
They'll pop, yeah.
Well, I didn't do it, but my older siblings did. I just watched them. I was like, what? What is that? They're like, it's wood ticks. And then my brother, like, sprayed it with spray paint, and he lit it on fire, and it popped.
Ooh.
That blood went everywhere.
Hmm.
Sounds gross, huh?
Yeah.
It is gross. Okay, so there are mites that live on human faces, and you have some on yours right now. Yep, there are tiny beings that live on your face, microscopic follicle mites called Demodex. I don't even like that name. Make their homes in human eyelashes, eyebrows, pores, and hair follicles. What? Demodex are minuscule, eight-legged, worm-like creatures that are totally harmless. Still, they are definitely some things you... There are definitely some things to know about them that will make you shudder. Yes, they do lay eggs in your pores. No, they don't poop, at least while they're alive. Instead, they hold their waste inside their bodies and flush it out onto your skin upon their death.
What? I wonder where you could feel them, because sometimes I'm like, oh, nice. It's like a phantom itch.
Scratch?
Yeah.
Ooh. Maybe they're moving camp.
Dog, when you were talking about that, I'm like, oh, yuck. Like,
they're doing it, and you just kind of feel it. Doing it.
A little orgy on your cheek. Oh. Right in the dimple.
It's a family show.
What are they called? Demex?
The one that started with D-E-M-O-D-E-X. Demodex.
Demodex. You get out my face there, Demodex.
Ooh, yuck, you got Demodex all over your cheeks.
Hey, Demodexes, could I?
Your face looks like Demodex.
So eight-legged worm-like creatures.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
They're on your face too. They're out there.
They're on your face. If you're listening to this, you got Demodex on your cheek.
Don't talk to me until you get those Demodexes taken care of, please.
I wonder if they get on the fake eyelashes too.
Yeah, they have to. They probably like yeah. It's probably like a like when you put up a brand new house in the neighborhood and everybody wants to move in.
Everybody starts partying there.
Okay, cornflakes were invented to prevent masturbation.
What?
What?
How so?
Dr. John Harvey Kellogg was extremely prudish and believed sex was a heinous sin. He didn't even sleep with his own wife.
What?
But in Kellogg's book, masturbation was even worse. His solution, give people a healthy breakfast option. He believed that certain foods, such as meat, increased sexual desire, while cereal and nuts had the power to temper it.
Oh. Wow.
Wow. People were crazy. How did that experiment work out?
Oh, I don't know.
Did he ever multiply?
Did he ever multiply? It doesn't say anything about that, but.
So that's where Kellogg's comes from?
Dang.
Yeah, well, I can't remember that name. There's this old movie back in the 90s that.
I kind of remember that.
Parodied him?
Yeah,
like
it was
a parody. But he made those people poop in little pans and he would go inspect it.
What kind of movies you guys watching?
Dr. James Kellogg. Oh, his name was James on there, though, not John Harvey.
Yeah, I kind of remember watching that.
I don't remember what it's called.
Someone put it on because it was like, oh, this is about how cornflakes started. And then we all sat down and watched it, and then it was like a soft porn. And we're like, what the hell is this?
It's more of a comedy.
Yeah, I remember there's like a lot of doing it scenes.
Did you guys watch it on, like, a field trip or something?
So, obviously, cornflakes didn't work.
Yeah. Did you guys watch that in, like, a field trip or something?
Watched it at St. Charles Mission.
History teacher.
Okay, all Fruit Loops are the same flavor.
Yep, I knew that.
Yeah, I think I knew that one, too. That's a boring one.
Just different colors?
I know. And then the toucan says... Just follow your nose. He doesn't even have a nose.
Well, he's got a big beak.
Beak.
I know.
I wonder if birds can smell like that. Frogs. Frogs use their eyeballs to swallow. Mother Nature gives us some serious WTF facts. If you've ever seen a frog close its eyes after it eats, it's not just blinking. After research used x-rays to observe frogs while they ate, they found that when swallowing, a frog will retract its eyeballs down to its esophagus to push the food down.
What?
Retract its eyeballs. Oh, okay. So, like, the you close your eyes and then the eyeballs go down and into your throat and push it down a little bit.
Yeah.
I wonder if they can see it.
Probably not. I mean, imagine the frogs have big old eyeballs, so they probably just go down a little bit.
Oh, not like.
No, because then, like, their mouth is just, like, right there. So it just probably goes.
Oh, yeah, they kind of got those little flat heads, too.
Yeah.
And their eyeballs are kind of sticking up anyway, so they probably don't. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. So sick, yes.
So sick, yes. Bald eagles don't sound like you think they do.
No, they cluck.
Time to ruin another patriotic symbol for you. When you think of a bald eagle, you probably think of a majestic creature with a mighty call. But the piercing cry that most people associate with the bird is actually the sound made by the red-tailed hawk.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that. Used ubiquitously by Hollywood because it has a grander effect. Real bald eagles actually make more of a chirping noise.
Yeah. It's like a clucking noise. Cluck, cluck, cluck. Yeah.
Is that how they sound?
Yeah.
Remember no, I've never heard it.
Remember, on the movies and they go, they have that little like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a hawk.
Yeah.
Like an eagle screech, right? Like on 2K, they have the screech.
Yeah.
That's a hawk?
That's a hawk.
That's a hawk, yeah. Because even when I started drumming, they call them hawk cries when those guys, those high pitch.
Oh, now you know.
Can you demonstrate for us, please?
No, not right now. I've been, my voice isn't in shape for that.
Kinky.
The best I got.
Dead people can still get erections.
Yuck.
It's so common for dead bodies to get erections, there's actually a term for it. Angel lust.
Wow.
This is most likely to happen after a sudden death in a vertical or face down position. But that's not all. The muscle contractions that occur as rigor mortis sets in can even cause ejaculation. That could make for an awkward funeral.
It's pretty awkward for the mortician.
So you're talking like the corpses have actual.
Yeah.
Every corpse?
Oh, I don't think so. It says it's most likely to happen after a sudden death in a vertical or face down position.
Oh, probably because that's where all the blood goes.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's all it is blood.
Blood. S-O-C-K-S.
Okay, moving on.
Let's move on. That's a touchy.
That's a little too edgy for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too weird.
got some people that listen, so.
Okay. Your cell phone has more germs than your toilet seat.
I believe that.
Next time you put your phone up to your face, just imagine you're laying your cheek right on the porcelain throne. Scientists have found that cell phones carry more than 10 times the bacteria of a toilet seat.
That's why I only talk on speakerphone.
You talk on your phone?
Yeah.
To who?
You use phone calls?
You use your phone to talk to people?
I know money does. Money's got a lot of filth on it, too.
Yuck.
I know, especially the singles.
Yuck.
You don't know where they've been. Literally.
Bearcat urine smells like buttered popcorn.
Who would take the time to smell that?
The next time.
So tigers, too. They say if you're in the jungle and you can smell popcorn, get the F out of there. Because the tiger's pee smells like popcorn.
Oh.
Buttered popcorn.
Okay. So the urine contains the same compound, 2-AP, that is found in buttered popcorn. Delicious.
Yummy.
Abraham Lincoln's dog was also assassinated.
Dang, what'd the dog do?
President Abraham
Lincoln. I want his life.
I don't want his dog. President Abraham Lincoln had a yellow mixed breed dog named Fido, which, by the way, some researchers say is why the name is so popular. A year after the president's assassination, Fido was also killed. The dog reportedly jumped onto a drunken man sitting on a curb. In an intoxicated rage, the man stabbed the poor pup.
Dang.
Damn, he didn't shoot him. He stabbed him.
Dang.
You know what I've always wondered?
What'd you wonder?
Is it Fido? Or is it fight? Oh,
fight!
Like fight. What's a Fido?
It's a dog.
I know, but like, what is like? Because I always thought it was like, you know, like when you, you know, like a baby, you're a Fido. Like, don't, you know what I mean? Like, you know how you tease the babies? Or maybe that's a bad analogy, but.
Like a Fido fight?
Yeah, like a Fido. Like, you're always fighting, like a, being a Fido. Like, you know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh, fight. A fight. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, like, versus, like, the Fido, F-I-D-O.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. We're going to have to look that one up.
Yeah, yeah, I'm kind of stumped on that.
Can you not be so analytical, please, Randy?
All cereal box mascots are looking down. The next time you go to the cereal aisle in your grocery store, pay attention to the eyes on the boxes. You won't be able to unnotice that every mascot is looking down. The reason, so they can make eye contact with children. By doing this, they grab kids' attention and establish feelings of trust, making children more likely to ask their parents to buy a box of cereal.
I knew that.
Did you?
Yeah, I seen it on a reel.
Marketing.
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 Yeah.
Humans are visual beings, like we see stuff first.
Yeah, they got psychology and all kinds of tricks up their sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sneaky. That's how they get you. That's how they get you.
That's why I don't vote.
Yeah, that's what I
ditto.
Jinx.
I was going to say that. Jelly beans are coated with insect secretions.
Yuck.
Most jelly beans, as well as candy corn, are coated with shellac, a substance made out of the secretions of the female Caryolacca, an insect from Thailand. Often you'll see shellac billed as confectioner's glaze in the ingredients list. It's what makes jelly beans so shiny.
Crazy.
What do you mean by secretions?
Yeah, what is secretion like?
It's like a
it's not open saliva, but
saliva,
it's like a.
It could be like sweat.
It's like an opening in your body. Isn't it? Kind of like a.
Oh, like.
Like saliva is in sweat and mucus and pus and.
Yeah, like an opening in your body.
Yuck. Jelly beans. Confectioner's glaze.
Mm. I'll get that confectioner's glaze on these jelly beans now. Let's do a couple more.
All right, all right, all right. Bookstores give some people the urge to poop.
Huh.
Bookstores do?
One Japanese expression called the Mariko Aoki phenomenon theorizes that walking into a bookstore ignites the urge to defecate. The condition is named after a woman who mentioned it in a magazine article in 1985. Science has yet to uncover a clear reason as to why this happens.
Huh.
Bookstores give some people the urge to poop.
Yug.
Maybe because they're books and, you know, you want to go chill on the throne and check out your favorite book, you know?
Good time to get some reading in.
Yeah. It's a good time to get some reading in, yeah. You associate the two.
Hmm.
So I wonder if that happens with cell phone stores now, too.
Probably.
Because I don't know, you know, you ain't taking
dedicated throne room?
You ain't taking your book in there anymore. You're taking your cell phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's so many germs on there.
Yeah.
See, it's so we're going full circle here. That's,
full circle.
Walt Disney almost... Okay, we'll do this last one.
Okay.
Walt Disney almost named the Seven Dwarfs Chesty, Tubby, Burpy, Deffy, Hickey, Wheezy, and Awful.
What?
Chesty, Tubby, Burpy, Deffy, Hickey, Wheezy, and Awful. Which one are you?
Wheezy.
Awful.
What is Chesty?
What is Chesty?
Why is he named Chesty? I want to know. It'd probably be awful.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the lovely Snow White dancing merrily with Burpee and Hickey?
I'd be Hickey
and Chesty.
That whole thing is weird anyway.
Yeah.
Like, man, that Walt Disney must have been a freak.
Well, glad you didn't go with those names.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah, we could stop there if you want, man.
Yeah, I think we're warmed up. We're warmed up.
Doja.
I think we are all warmed up today. Yeah, so, DJ, if you're ready, why don't you hit me with that beat?
Yo, let's get into our topic.
Yo, let's get into our topic.
Baby, lock the door and turn the lights down low.
Oh,
hey. I found some I'm just kidding.
You sound like a country singer, bro.
It's my best Josh Turner voice. So yeah, we're here in episode 177, 177 weeks in a row just for you, the listener, where you make us, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't keep going. So shout out to you, the listener. This week we got another article from Psychology Today. This one's called One Way Indigenous Spirituality Promotes Resilience. Relying on mystery may be uniquely helpful during times of adversity. Excuse me. It was updated on February 9th, 2024. But I think it was originally posted in 2012, right? Some key points, I'll read that and then we'll go kind of skim through this article. Key points are, it's natural to want answers when facing adversity. The Lakota understanding of Wakan, or mystery, emphasizes how some things are simply unknowable. Accepting difficulties as mystery may uniquely promote resilience. So back in February 1st, 2012, the American Studies professor Matthew, spelled weird. He got a call about his daughter passing away in a car accident on Icy Road, two-lane highway, rural South Minnesota. She was only 27. So like anyone who's lost a loved one like this, Matthew struggled mightily with grief. And he wrestled with questions such as, should we have done something different that would have avoided this accident? Who was at fault? Why did she choose to live in a rural area with dangerous roads? How could this happen? Was she or are we being punished? What was the role of God in this tragedy? So in the aftermath of the horrific event, Matthew's longtime study of Lakota spirituality, particularly conversations at the Cheyenne River Reservation in South Dakota with medicine men, Sydney Keith and Martin Highbear, took on new significance. Then he wrote a book, Way of Wakan, Reflections on Lakota Spirituality. Matthew explains, Wakan is at its core an ambiguous yet very honest explanation of why we cannot understand a reality we desperately wish we could. Wakan, then, a spiritual position on which to base an understanding of one's spiritual and physical world, as well as the relationship between the two. Acknowledging the mystery of the situation helped Matthew with his initial questions and urge to blame someone or something for his daughter's death. Everyone from the driver of the semi-truck to inadequate roads in southern Minnesota to the whole area where she lived, even to Felicity herself for not paying attention to her driving, not taking precautions, seemingly not caring. Blame was no place when all is Wakan and unknowable, he writes. What seems uniquely powerful about this reliance on Wakan is the humble recognition that some things are simply unknowable as to us humans. To suggest otherwise would be presumptuous. Some things just happen. And desperate as we are to find answers, we can't really know why. This isn't just a practical perspective in Lakota spirituality. The lack of knowing itself is deemed sacred. And I'll stop there. I think that's a good stopping point as far as what was hitting you guys. As you guys read this article and then as I read that little snippet from there, and I'll open it up to you two. And then we'll let it go where it's going to go. So not all at the same time. We'll start with
he was taking a drink.
I know. Start with your favorite Indian. Because you chose the article.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was like you chose.
Well, it was my choice. No, I think, because, man, that's always been like one of the biggest problems that I've always had. It's like, why, everything, why? I got to know why. What was the reason for this? What was the reason for that? Why does this work? How does this work? And to have that, these answers to everything, not just, obviously, it goes into like that say a tragic event like we're reading here, but like every little thing though, it's actually pretty tiring, right? Like I think I overanalyze every little last little thing, and then that's probably like a deep source of my anxiety. Is trying to answer and get reasons for everything. I mean, I can't even think of an example because it's just pretty much everything. But when I read this article and I was going over it, and this hit me before too, because I'm doing a lot of things, I don't know what the word would be, not study, but looking into these kind of things for my own mental health, right? To try again to try to find answers.
Yeah,
but what I've come to understand is that I'm trying to grasp in my mind is that there's some things you just don't know and you can't know and you're not supposed to know. Right? And that's okay. Like there's like, why does there have to be a reason why something would happen to you? I think I sometimes I go into this whole idea of, everything has, there's a purpose for everything, right? We're thinking about a higher power and say, okay, well, God does things for a reason. And in the end, you're going to find out you'll figure it out later on that this event happened to you. This person was in your life and now they're not, or this happened to this person and they were such good people, but why did it happen to them? Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I just grew up with this idea that at some point that answer would be revealed to you.
Mm.
And apparently that's not true. Like there's just, and then, I can go way deeper into it as far as the spirituality part of it. But with that, when I get to a certain point, I'm like, okay, that's a little too far. I don't think I'm supposed to know. I mean, like, I don't. To me, the bottom line is, like, when you get to that point, if I could truly understand what it is that God is, then he would cease to be God.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Right, like it's beyond my understanding.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
it just is. And so like say electricity, when they first had electricity, people were freaking out, like, man, how can you flip that switch and then this light turns on? It's amazing. But now that we know how electricity works, it ain't that great.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so like I don't think I could ever figure out certain things because those are above me. Like my mom told me, that's above my pay grade.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Kind of loses its allure, kind of.
Not allure. It's just that it's like, okay, so I can't. Like there's no way as me as my human self. I can't comprehend it. No.
Okay.
I'll never get it.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I think like.
Because it's above me.
Yeah. I know, like, especially, like, if we're being, like, a person of faith, right? Like, it looks like this guy has a level of spirituality and faith being, like, people know what I believe, I guess. But it does say, like, the mysteries of God are unsearchable,
mm-hmm.
and not always understanding. And then I'm reminded of this other verse where it says, you don't understand what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't understand right now, like, what's going on, the process. And it kind of reminds me of like my process, right? Like, and I think I shared it previously, like when we came back from Kansas City, but February 2nd, 2024 marked the 9-year anniversary of my decision to drive myself to treatment. And at the time life was falling apart. Like there was nothing good going for me. You know, not to say that I was going through what this man was going through. That's one of my worst fears. Because I feel like parents should never have to bury a child. But with that being said, like, looking back, I didn't understand the process that I was going through. And 9 years after making a decision to drive to treatment, like, this thought hit me after my daughter lost a fight that we felt like she should have won, but the judges saw different. In her time of devastation, she ran to her father, and I embraced her, and she just broke down. Like, I could tell, like, when I looked at her, like, her tears were ready to go, but as soon as she embraced me, like, man, it just went loose, you know?
Yeah.
And the floodgates opened, and, man, I just held her. But I remember having this thought, like, this is what she prayed for. And then it hit me, like, man, like, I did pray for this. And I was thankful that I was there. But in the beginning, I didn't understand the process of what I was going through. It may have happened because of my choices back then. And I may have made certain decisions that prolonged that season. But in that moment, I appreciated the process of my journey. It made me more grateful.
For sure.
You know, because it's like, man, thank you. You've always been good. It's been me who was unfaithful. It's been me who's wavered. It's been me who's been double-minded. And I didn't understand all that then. But now when I look back and I'm able to, you know, the saying is that hindsight is 20/20. I'm like, man, this whole time you've been cultivating a heart of a father inside of me. You know, you've been molding it, and man, I've kicked and screamed, I've fought against it, I've done all these things, and I say all that to say, man, we don't always understand the process that we're going through, and sometimes, like, what I read in the story is, like, this man was searching for peace because he analyzed from every single angle, and I feel like a person that's analytical, like myself and JC alluded to earlier, like, that's where we go into chaos, right? And when we look at, like, the word chaos, it what it means is the absence of peace. And it's like peace in our mind and, most of all, peace in our spirit, peace inside. Because a lot of times we're fighting a war that's inside of ourselves. You know, like, and when from my understanding of, like, what Wakan means, it just means peace. Like, this man is searching for peace through a chaotic world. And a way to define it, like, sometimes we have to be okay with not understanding. We have to be okay with not knowing why we're going through what we're going through. But the solution to that problem is to find peace inside of that chaos. There is a place where we can tap into if we would steel ourselves enough. You know, we have to be okay with not knowing. We have to be okay. Because I'm like JC, like, I want to know why. You know, if, like, I have to know why. I'm a person that wants to know why. But I feel like I drive myself to more torture trying to find an answer to why. When really I got to take a step back and be like, man, I don't know. But because of my faith, I have to trust you. And trust is not something spiritual. Trust in every relationship is built up over time. Every relationship, whether it be professional or personal. Every relationship is built off of trust. If there's no trust, there's no relationship.
No, I feel that. Yeah, thank you guys for sharing what you did so far. And, like, when I read this article initially, it just made me think of this individual that lives here in town, always down to help people, you know, and he was, like, really good dude. I mean, he is a good dude. He's still with us. But Like, he just went through some real serious kind of stuff, you know, like car accident where he almost died. And I think his marriage fell apart and stuff. And it was just like, I'm sitting over here like, this is like one of the realest dudes I know as far as like willing to help anybody and everybody at a moment's notice. Like, he would drop everything, like, if he got word that someone needed some help, you know, especially when it comes to, like, recovery and stuff. And, like, this is happening to him. And I'm like, what is this? Like, why is this happening? And I was pretty devastated by the whole situation, you know, and I'm just like, I was reminded of that. And I was kind of like, and then it kind of, because I do a lot. You know, as far as, you know, I mean, I'm busy. I wouldn't say I do a lot, but I'm busy. And so it just kind of like, was he doing too much? Was he, what part of his like mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual was he neglecting? You know, that's where my mind went. And I'm just kind of like, it put some fear in me, like, because, like, we're doing the same thing, you know, like, and I was just like, so that's been on my mind. And, like, this article really kind of highlighted that piece was, like, I don't know, like, selfishly, I'm like, I don't want that to happen to me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want, and then, like, and then kind of reinforced, like, so that, you know, keep it simple, stupid. Has been, like, really coming to me, like, hard. Like, keep it simple. So then, like, it's not my place to understand why this happened. Like, I know it happened. And it's like, okay, then I got to, like, make sure. I mean, I just got to keep on keeping it simple. You know, as far as, like, what I got after spending time in prayer about it and stuff. It is like, okay, I just got to keep it simple. Like, I got to make sure I'm good mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, not overextend myself. Like, pull back the reins on what I'm doing, where I'm putting my energy. And I was just kind of like, oh, dang. That was like a wake-up call for me, you know. And I continue to pray for this individual. And, but that was like an instance that just like within the past year where this article like really brought it like back to the forefront of my memory. And I was just kind of like, dang, that was one thing where I had no answers.
Yeah.
And not knowing was like I had to accept that, even though there's still part of me, like a huge part of me that wants to know why this happened to this solid person who I thought was solid. But then, I mean, there might be a lot of things I don't know about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where my mind went. And it's just like, I got to keep it simple. And keeping it simple is accepting that I'm not going to know some things. Even though I'm, you know, I'm the type that wants to know all the ins and outs, man. What's the tea, man? Spill the tea, Randy.
That listening to your what you just said, it kind of reminded me of I was talking to my therapist, and I one of my problems is that I think I personalize a lot of things.
Yeah,
right. Like I even though my wording might not seem like I'm thinking like, oh, why did that happen to them?
Mm-hmm.
But the only reason why I'm asking you that question is because, oh, it affected me.
Mm.
Right? And I try to personalize a lot of things that really don't have anything to do with me because, like, say, your personal relationships and somebody acts or behaves or does something and then you personalize that. And then, like, for me, it, my mind just runs away with me when it had nothing to do with me. It might not have had anything to do with me. Like, because, you know, like, there's a separate entity involved here, right?
Yes, sir.
So, like, that's just one example, man, but to personalize everything or to kind of take everything on, like mm-hmm. assuming responsibility.
Yeah.
Or kind of taking on.
Is that kind of like a codependency trait?
That's exactly what that is.
Mm.
That's exactly what that is.
It is kind of like something with addicts, right? Like, I have a very codependent nature.
Yeah.
And it's something that, back to even last week's episode, is like establishing boundaries and realizing that and not personalizing things. Those are things that I'm currently working on, you know, like not taking stuff personal, having those healthy boundaries. Because if we don't, it's detrimental to our mental health.
Mm.
And I feel like the more I grow in life, the more it's about finding peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm realizing, like, not everybody has access to that peace.
Mm.
To be able to quiet those thoughts, to take every thought under captivity, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be like, hey, man, that's kind of, I know I thought this way for this long, but that's not how I want to think about myself. That's not how I want to think about this situation.
Anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to me to really change how I think. I feel like that's really a vital key to destroying those generational curses that we're fighting.
Mm.
A lot of us are fighting traumas that our parents or grandparents failed to confront.
Mm.
You know? And if we choose not to confront them, then it falls upon those that are coming up after us. And I feel like it's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like,
oh, yeah.
I feel like we're never going to confront everything or conquer everything, but that leaves less for our children to fight.
True.
Which I feel like as, you know, addicts and people fighting that battle, we want to go out of our way to, you know what I mean? Like, we mm-hmm. overextend ourselves a lot.
True.
But you remember at the conference in Phoenix, they said something like, are you willing to cry so your children don't have to?
Mm. Yes. Man, that stuck with me.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's really what it's about, right, is healing.
Yeah.
Healing those wounds that our fathers and them before us faced, and also things that we've encountered so that our children don't have to.
Mm.
You know, like, it's almost unfair because, and this is why, like, I really struggle with parents who choose not to be in their children's lives, right? Like,
mm.
because the children never asked to be born. Whether you agreed to partake in relations with the person or not, the child never asked to be born.
Yeah.
What you like?
No, you said relations.
Sexual relations. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I never had sexual relations. No, but seriously,
yeah, yeah.
though, like,
no, yeah, yeah. I know what you mean.
You know, because we've normalized, the society has normalized children without their fathers.
Mm. Hmm. Yeah. And like on that note, man, I mean, this is just kind of like one of my soapboxes, like, like, you made the kids, like, why don't you want to be part of their lives, man? Like, I know I got 3 kids from 3 different women, but I make it a point to be with them. And I make it a point to be part of their lives. And there's, like, nothing in me to want to not be in their life, you know?
Yeah.
So I was just like, I see dudes walking around that, you know, have little kids all over the place and they're just out here looking for their next stag, and I'm like, what is that? You know?
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I don't know. Anyway, that's a side topic.
That's a red flag.
That's a red
flag. Or else the, you know, the parent that not a part of the life, and then when the kid does something awesome, the proudest parent ever.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're posting a picture from last week and haven't been there for, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
No, back to, all right, let's go a little bit further with this article. I'll read a little bit more on this. It says, as Matthew writes, the comfort is what is Wakan. Wakan? Wakan. Is that no attempt is made to answer questions that really cannot be answered. Wakan implies the acceptance of not knowing and taking comfort in that lack of knowledge. The Lakota people have endured great hardship and have relied on Wakan to be strong. Displaced from the east, this tribal nation now exists mostly on the High Plains, South Dakota, Nebraska, Eastern Washington. Matthew explains some of their history. All right, I'm going to skip past this. Coping via mystery is also consistent with research showing that religious and spiritual coping is typically associated with better outcomes after a stressful event. The difference with Wakan is the lack of answers or belief necessary. As Matthew notes, by recognizing the centrality of mystery, the Lakota highlight how spirituality does not require certainty. The theologian Shelley Rambo describes trauma as suffering that remains. 12 years after his daughter's tragic death, Matthew still feels this trauma. He still suffers a wound was opened that fateful day that won't ever fully heal. At the same time, Matthew's reliance on the Lakota understanding of Wakan has helped him find some peace. The honest appreciation of mystery may help lighten many people's loads as well as wrestle with the great unknowns of life. And I think with me, it took me back to like my process, that first 2.5 years of my recovery, of me walking the red road, coming to a full 100% realization that there is a God and that I fully believe in this God, my higher power. Like, okay, I believe in God, but I can't tell you what that is. And just the acceptance of that. Like, I believe that I believe in a higher power. And I believe that my higher power will help me if I just lean on my higher power, not my own understanding. And for me, going back to like keeping it simple, that's enough. That has to be enough for me. Like, I can't go further than that. Like, as far as like, I can't tell you what that is. And that has to be enough for me. And it is. Because I remember a point in my life when I tried to understand God, and that definition of like, you know, he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Like, God has no beginning or end. I remember that kept me up all night one night. Like, how can something not have a beginning or end? Like, my human brain couldn't grasp that. And I laid there all night, like, trying to figure out how to grasp that. And I couldn't.
Yeah. And see, like, when I think about it, because I could pretty much relate to that whole story. Like, yeah, I've done that too, laid awake at night and trying to figure things out. But when I think about it, man, just accepting things as mystery and saying, well, you know what? I don't know. And I'll never know. I'll never figure that out. That's kind of liberating. Because then, you know, it's like surrendering, right? You know, you got to surrender to some things. And, like, it's just when you say, okay, I don't know. It's a mystery. But, you know, things will be what they'll be. It just kind of like deflates that whole stress balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just finally, okay, I don't have to do this. I don't have to try to figure this out, man. It's not my job.
Man, if we really think about it at a deeper level, like, none of us have been here before. Like, all we can do is take advice from people who are ahead of us.
Mm.
but they've never been there before either. You know what I mean? Like,
so it's like blind leading the blind?
Almost. Like, we all act like we know things when really we don't know nothing.
Man, we don't know shit.
For real. Like, you know, we've built a world that's built on credentials and debt and, like, whatever, and we feel like that's what it means to be successful in, you know, quotations. When at the end of the day, like, none of that means nothing.
Mm-mm.
You know, and not to get, like, too, like, act like it's not awesome to accomplish feats.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, when we really think about it, like, our parents never been there. They don't know how to raise children.
Yeah.
Our grandparents never been there. They don't know how to raise children. All we can really do is take what they've gone through and apply it to our own lives and not make the same mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we go around and consider people experts when really in reality it's like, no, that's not it either. So yeah. It's like almost like what I'm reading in the story is like this man through the devastation that he's gone through is basically searching for peace inside of himself.
Mm.
Being okay with not being okay.
Yeah.
To be like, man, I went through the most traumatic thing in life that anybody can ever endure, which is burying a child.
Mm.
And we don't have a blueprint. We don't have a map. But all I can share is I've learned to be okay with not being okay. I've learned to quiet those voices inside of my mind and be like, man, I don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, but I feel like that's why it does say like, man, like the mysteries of God are unsearchable.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning like we can spend our entire lives wanting to know this being, the creator of heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm.
Who was here first before any of us, right? Like he's too majestic for any of us to even see face to face. But we all act like we know. You know what I mean? Like, like who he is personally.
Like he came over for Thanksgiving or something.
Yeah, bro. Like, but at the end of the day, it's like, and they don't know Jack either. You know, like, I feel like, man, like, I'm grateful and thankful, but sometimes we have to be okay with not knowing. And, man, sometimes that's the hardest thing. True. I know it is for me.
I know.
You know, like.
Well, I mean, like, uncertainty or not knowing, that brings fear. Right?
But like, I feel like that's really why life is about finding peace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, to quiet the chaos internally.
Yeah.
Because if you're anything like me, man, my mind's running. Bam, 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 bam. And then if I don't keep that in check, bro, like, it gets crazy. And then I get myself worked up. And, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Exactly. How many bad decisions or how many jacked up decisions, how many, because we haven't been at peace.
Mm.
Because if I'm at peace with myself, in myself, man, I like that Randy. I don't like the Randy that's not at peace inside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't like him either.
But like one thing, I guess like one thing that I've learned and appreciated on my own journey is being okay with jacked up things sometimes. When things aren't going my way.
Mm.
When things that I felt like I wanted more than anything else don't happen. Mm. I've got to tap into that place. And find it. Like yesterday, right? Like, not going through nothing, but like, I'm like, man, like, I just had this experience where it was like, God, forgive me for not worshiping you. I don't want nothing from you. I just want to spend time here.
Mm.
I want to bless you. Like, I want to love you. Like, I want to magnify you. Like, I want more than anything in my life, I want people to see you inside of me. Mm. Because we do complicate it. We do complicate the process. We do, and I'm the worst at it. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Like, man, like, bro, especially like the more like I come to this, like this season of growth has been uncomfortable, but it's like, man, been one of growing. And there's a part of me that wanted to turn back and go back to the way things were, when in reality, today, I'm like, man, thank you for this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And again, like, it's like, man, like, how can I tap into that peace on a daily basis? You know, how can, not that everything is all peaches and cream all the time, but finding and quieting the spirit inside. Because, man, let's be honest. Life sucks sometimes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, jacked up things happen. Go ahead.
Yeah, all the time. And it's like, I think, like, that part of recovery where we're called to respond is, like, when we're able to do that, then, like, we're operating out of that peace and love. But when we're operating, because, like, okay, there's a teaching in Walbriety says every day you're operating in love or you're operating in fear. And when you're operating in fear, you're being reactive to everything. When you're operating in love, then you're able to respond and you're mindful of your thoughts and emotions and the things around you. And you're able to respond to everybody, everything that comes your way. And that's like something I strive for. But like there's, you know, like those tools, like modulated breathing, having your time, prayer time, meditations in the morning. I find when I do those, then I'm able to respond throughout the day. But if I forget to do those or just get too busy in the morning, don't do those, and like, oh, I'll do it later. Man, I'm cussing like a sailor by noon. You know, I'm highly reactive at work. And like, oh, this mother effer, oh, this mother father, rah, 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 you know. And I'm just like, oh, ready to cuss people out. So then I, you know, time out. Pull back, try to get back into that operating in love. Or I might just be hangry.
Hangry is crazy, huh?
Man, I cussed out this dude, kicked him out of my house yesterday. Salesman came to look at our windows. And, like, I just wanted a quote.
Yeah.
But, like, he came in, he brought in all his stuff, brought in a window. And was, like, trying to sell me on it. And I was like, look, dude, all I want is a quote. We're going to go with you. We like what your product is and everything. I said, you ain't got to sell me on nothing. And I tried to get him out, like, 5 times. And then he just came back with these rebuttals and kept going with his stuff. Man, finally, man, I got pissed. And I said, look, man, you need to give me a quote right now. If you don't give me a quote right now, you need to get your shit and get the fuck out of here. I was so pissed because, like, he wouldn't listen to me.
Yeah.
He wouldn't give me a quote. That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
And we're going to go with them. We're going to schedule an appointment, like, late summer, early fall to replace our big window in our living room. But he wouldn't give me a quote. He wanted to continue on with his spiel. Man, that pissed me off.
Yeah.
And every time I told him I just want a quote, that's all I want today, he just kind of smirked and kind of, like, had that attitude of, like, I know better than you. Shut the fuck up. Let me finish my spiel. So, man, I just, and finally, when I said that, he just sat back and then he started, and he said, and he gave me the quote. I took a picture of it with my phone. And I walked over to the door and I opened it and I said, get out, leave.
We'll be in contact.
Yeah. I said, we'll contact you.
Yeah.
But then, like, then after that, I went to Talisha's office and I told her what happened. And all she said was, did you eat lunch? I think you're just hangry. And I didn't eat lunch. Oh, I was like, man, right at 12:30, like right at noon yesterday, cussing out some poor salesman.
Damn.
So how did you really feel?
Yeah.
I was pissed.
After you ate, how did you feel? Like, were you like, damn, that was dumb? Or
yeah. Like, I'm still kind of pissy about it because he wouldn't listen to me.
No, I feel
but
it,
but I
though.
Mean, but after I ate and stuff, and then, like, I was like, I could have handled that a little bit better. But in the moment, I just cussed him out, kicked him out of my house.
Yeah. It's always those ones like, I probably shouldn't say nothing. And then you're like, ah, I gotta let it go.
I know. I was just like, this mother, man, you know.
That war inside.
Yeah, but I was just.
Nah, but it is, man. Like, I feel like it is, man. Like, finding these healthy coping mechanisms, right? Like, whether that be journaling, whether that be, like, just cussing, you know, in a car with nobody else around, or crying, you know. Because a lot of it is grief, man. Like, there's things that happened in my life where I realized, like, I was operating out of grief, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, listening to Ronnie's story, too, like, where he touches on grief. And then us being, like, natives, man, it almost seems like a lot of our community thrives off of grief. You know, I got friends on social media that don't post unless somebody passes away.
Yeah, man, I don't know. That always gets me, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
When like they post, like, yeah, when somebody passes, like, I've never posted when somebody passes. But, yeah, it's kind of, I don't know.
I post, like, respectful things, or but then I always feel like that's just a cry for attention.
Yeah.
You know, like, because I also have another friend who's a friend on Snap, and all of their, it's always about the hurt and the pain that they're going through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and then, like, for me, like, being analytical, I'm like, man, I don't want to see that. Like, you know, like, man, what did you, and it kind of brings me back to a video that I shared yesterday on my reels. It was, like, asking your children, like, what made you smile today?
Yeah.
Who did you sit by at lunch today?
Mm-hmm. And the other one, like, is there anything about today that you would change?
Yeah.
I ask my kids those questions.
You know, and I tried that today. My daughter was like, because I was like, how was your day? And she goes, good. I'm like, okay. I was like, well, who did you sit by at lunch? And she goes, man, she came bouncing out of her room. You know, like, kick her. She has so much energy. But like, she popped out of her room, man, and she just, man, we just had a good conversation. But I feel like that's really what it's like, right? Like, because everybody, and even like in the environment that I'm in now, like, I've learned not to ask the students, how was class?
Yeah.
It's more of like, what is your favorite class? What did you enjoy about today's class?
Yeah.
And you'll get a good conversation. I don't know why I came on this rant, but, you know, like, that's, like, the journey that I'm at. Because I'm tired of, like, one-sided conversation, right?
Yeah.
But engaging, like, I want my daughter, when she's going through things, as she matures and as she grows, to want to talk to her dad. To be like, I know, but I've got to talk to my dad first. I want to seek my dad out. I want to, you know what I mean? Let me talk to my pops real quick.
You guys talking about boys yet?
Hell no. I see what she likes. Baby, that's not up for discussion yet.
Not there yet.
Yeah, but I mean, I see it.
It's kind of, it doesn't affect me like I thought it would.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, like, my kids, when they talk about, like, my son talks about girls or my daughter talks about boys, it's pretty cool. They're talking to me about this.
Yeah.
So I talked to them about it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. My daughter's like, oh, yeah, this boy pushed me on the playground. I said, man, did you push him back?
Yeah, no, like, having those kind of conversations, I think is cool, man, because it's like the parenting journey. You know, like, even before we came, we had a conversation. It's like, this is what has to happen when I come back. So this is what we're going to do. And kind of developing that family culture within our house.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going through this process so that we can be better when you're at this process.
Mm.
And she's like, okay. Yeah. Like, hey, we're teammates.
Yeah.
I got you and you got me.
Yeah, I think that, like, I think probably why you started going this direction is, like, probably feeling like this, like these talks need to happen at home, need to happen with the families. Because, yeah, you're right. I mean, you go to a conference and, like, you go to hear the experts and stuff, and it's kind of like, all right, well, that's your experience, so I'm not going to take every single thing you said and apply it to my life. There's some things that you like, but a lot of that is, like, people just looking to network and see how they can move their self forward and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if it's a conference where they have keynote speakers and breakout sessions and stuff like that, people are really there to like get out of the office and like network and not really listen to who's talking.
Yeah.
You know, I think we all feel that on some level as far as like, well, what makes this guy an expert?
Yeah.
I know you got favorite Indian. You're ready to chime in there or take a nap. I don't know which one it is.
I don't know which way we're going with this.
Just start talking.
But I had a thought there for a second. I lost it just now. Going back, kind of backtrack, probably a lot, but earlier when Randy was talking about making those decisions when you're not at peace, and I think, like, in the past for me, like, I would make, you know, stupid decisions because I wasn't at peace and I was trying to find it from an outside source.
Mm-hmm.
Or through, obviously, you know, drugs and alcohol. But, you know, trying to go back to that stasis, that even keel. And that's why, you know, like, being reactive and making those really kind of knee-jerk decisions, that always got me in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But now having the ability to say, okay, stop. Just stop. Stop what you're thinking. Stop what you're trying to figure out. Stop trying to find answers. Just stop for a second. And then that word right there, just telling myself, stop. And then, you know, then boom. Okay, now let's take it slow. Let's keep it simple. You know, being able to talk to myself like that, it's helped a lot because if I don't hit the brakes, then, you know, like we've talked about, all of us have talked about this in some form or another, that, man, we just go.
Mm-hmm.
And it just builds up more of that turmoil, more of that. And then, I mean, we all know what comes with that. But, yeah, just being able to say stop. And that starts with mindfulness. You know, like, okay, I got to pay attention to what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, because that ultimately is going to dictate my actions, and my actions are going to dictate results, right? That little chain of events, and then those results will reinforce whatever beliefs I have, and then when I have those beliefs, it loops back around to that's what I'm going to be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then begins the cycle. So anywhere in that little cycle, I can choose to say, all right, I don't like this ride anymore. I want to get off now, and I want to go to that more peaceful ride. So I just say, stop. And then, you know, make that conscious choice. And sometimes, you know, you gotta keep doing it. I got to keep doing it. Stop, stop, stop. But at some point, you know, I do find that peace, and then I stay there. Or, you know,
mm-hmm.
I have it. And you know, like, I don't know if it was in the Bible or what, but they have that peace beyond all human understanding.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Beyond human understanding, it says that.
Yeah.
And so right there, that just tells me that, man, I don't have to, I don't have to know everything.
Yeah.
I
want to, but I don't have to.
Yeah, that kind of goes back to, like, the step three. Like that surrender, like we made a choice to believe in our higher power, something greater than ourselves and those around us, like giving up that control of like wanting to know. Mm-hmm. I think that's good. That's good. And I think that falls, for me, that falls back onto like just keeping it simple, man. I got to keep it simple or else, like what you guys said, man, my mind will go. And before I know it, it's like 2-3 in the morning and I'm just laying there and it's like, it's going and going. I'm like, damn it. And you go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know? Then I'm all worried. And I'm like, oh, crap, I should have did this. I should have did that. I should have da 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 da. And it's just like, I got to calm my brain down and just like trust.
Yes.
Trust. Trust that my higher power, by the deal, is in control. And I don't have to be. Like you said, liberating. There's liberty in that.
Like, I think of it like, man, if you go on a long trip, like, I don't want to drive. I want to sit in the back seat and sleep.
Yep.
You better drive.
Nah, I ain't going to drive.
Someone's got to drive.
Somebody's got to drive.
No, I'm the one that drives. Because I think my anxiety goes up, and I'm like, I'm going to make sure we get there safely.
It sucks in the passenger seat, though. I mean, it sucks driving, but it sucks even more, like especially like when the roads are sketched.
Oh, man. Man, I got to be like in the back. I got to be in the trunk, blindfolded.
Yeah.
If I'm not going to be driving when the roads are sketchy, because I'll be in the back like, oh, hey, slow down, slow down.
Yeah, no.
It's good. I think that was a good article, and I think yeah, we definitely beat that dead horse. Is there any anything else? Kind of some fun tidbits that's going on in your guys' lives these days? Want to give a little peek to our listeners? What's happening with you guys?
Nah, I really liked that video when you took the panties off that baloney.
I gotta post that.
Slid right off.
Threw it right in the pan.
I busted out laughing when I saw that.
I gotta post it.
I'm like, oh, this guy really made a fried bologna. I'm like, I gotta try one of these days. We don't buy bologna at my house.
I know, I bought the bologna specifically to make that video. Oh, really? So for our listeners out there, I sent a video to our group text here, and I had my son, my little boy, my 6-year-old, holding my cell phone recording, and I peeled off the red panties on the bologna, and I threw it in the pan and started frying it.
All sexy.
And then Randy texts back right away, sexy.
You should have used your teeth.
Oh man, I don't know. One of them might have fallen out.
looked at the video all bad. Eh? That with your bedroom eyes.
That little ringer is still hanging out.
Crow fair eyes.
Food porn.
Yeah, that was a good one. So I'll post it on our story here just for you guys. So go to our Face page, follow it, and check that out.
Yeah, no, I just got a couple announcements. It's Billings Chamber of Commerce is having a Native American Business Summit over at MSUB in the sub, the Glacier Room, on Thursday, April 4th from 9:30 to 4 p.m. And you can hit them up, Billings Chamber of Commerce. You can find them on Facebook. And then we also are making a call for volunteers. You can go to msubillings.edu, click on the Native American Achievement Center, and follow the prompt all the way to the powwow. There are several different time slots that you can fill out. We do need a little bit more volunteers because we do operate off of volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody listening is in the local area, isn't going to be in town, doesn't have anything to do, would like to serve their community, this is a great opportunity.
Yeah, and service work is a huge part of recovery. So, man, this powwow should be all the people in recovery should at least take up one time slot.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. But you, favorite Indian?
All I got to say is please hit that like, subscribe, follow, and follow us on Podbean if you haven't already, because that really helps us out.
Ahoo!
Ahoo!
Mahalo!
Hey! Hey!
Eso sí que es.
Pendejo.
To all you pendejos out there.
From the biggest pendejo of them all.
From the three pendejos.
Remember that Cheech and Chong when he said, I'll teach you Spanish, and he taught him how to say that, and he goes, what does that mean? He goes, oh, it means my really good friend. And they pulled up to those dudes. Hey, pendejo.
My really good friend. Where's your license? It's back there on the bumper.
Isn't it on the bumper?
Oh, man.
What's happening?
We're talking about two different movies, but yeah.
That is two different movies.
Three.
Oh, is it three?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. It is. All right. So, to all our listeners out there under the firmament, we love you. We appreciate you. Keep listening and keep telling Auntie about our episodes. And to our unspoken words disciples, keep spreading unspoken words, gospel, Billy Graham style. Hey.
Be kind to yourself.
Yeah, and don't be a pendejo. Listen to unspoken words.
Now sit back, relax, and listen to some real talk.
Now sit back, relax, and listen to some real talk.